Okay, so we're up to the last parak here in Yehoshua. In the last parak, Yehoshua really gathers the Jewish people, even though he really already gathered them, and he spoke to the leaders, as we read in Parak Chaf Gimel. But he essentially does it again, focusing on slightly different things. So let's start. At the very beginning of Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayesof Yehoshua es kol Shivtei Yisrael Shechema. So Yehoshua gathers all the tribes of Yisrael, right, the whole nation, all the different Teshvatim. He gathers them to Shechem. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's an interesting place to gather.
What is it called, Shechema?
So Shechema, generally in Tanakh, whenever you see a hey at the end of a place, it always means to that place.
Gotcha.
So Shechema is to Shechem, Mitzrayma to Mitzrayim. It's in place of the Lamed at the beginning of the word. So he gathers them to Shechem. Vayikra lezikne Yisrael ulerosav uleshovtav uleshotrav. And again, the same type of language that we saw in Perek Chaf Gimel. And he calls to the elders and to the heads of the Shvatim and to the Shoftim and the Shotrim, right, the judges and the officers. And they all stand, literally stand before God. So this is very interesting. You know, what's he going to say to them? And, you know, we'll read the psukim, but essentially he's going, this is his farewell address, this is his last will and testament. He's telling them, you know, what he wants from them. And essentially he's going to impress upon them the importance of following Hashem as he's about to die, and not following Avodah Zarah. That's essentially what this whole speech is going to contain. Obviously, there's, you know, more details that we'll learn about, but you know, the thrust of his speech, the main theme of his speech is going to be: listen, Chevra, I'm about to die. You know, you've been with me all this time. I've led you, but keep in mind, as I die, keep in mind that. You know, that you got to stick with the Torah and you have to stay away from Avodah Zarah. Now, the Radak makes a couple of very interesting points here. He says that if you look at the end of the Pasuk, so let's start with that. So it's Vayisyatzfu Lifnei Ha'elokim. So what does that mean, Lifnei Ha'elokim? So the Radak says, there's other Mepharshim say this as well, that he was taking this so seriously that he actually brought the Aron with him. For this event, he brought the Aron so that the Nasiim and the Roshim and the Zakenim who would come would create a bris. They're going to make a pact. They're going to promise that they're going to follow Hashem and they're going to stay away from Avodah Zarah, and they're going to do it lifnei ha'elokim with the Aron there. Right? So it's obviously a promise that you make even today, right? Lahavdil, in a secular court, what do? They put they put their hand on their Bible. And they swear, right? So obviously, lahavdil elef alfei avdalos, if we bring the Aron, if Yehoshua brings the Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah inside, they make a bris, they make a pact, they make a covenant that they're going to follow Hashem, they're going to stay away from Avodah Zarah. That's something serious, right? That's serious business. There's no messing around here. Now, why specifically in Shechem? So it's an interesting place, right? Keep in mind, where was the Mishkan right now? The Mishkan was in Shiloh. So presumably Shiloh would have been, you know, a more logical place to have this. The Aron's already in Shiloh, the Mishkan's in Shiloh. So just gather everyone to Shiloh, which was like the headquarters of Yehoshua and the Jewish people anyway, and have this event, you know, where Yehoshua is going to give them his last will and testament and his ethical will. Have it in Shiloh. You know, why are we switching venues here to Shechem? So the Mepharshim all say that there's a lot of underlying symbolism in hosting this event in Shechem. So the Radak offers a few different possibilities. And keep in mind, you know, Yehoshua now had to transport the Aron. Once he chooses Shechem as the venue, he wants to do it lifnei ha'elokim. He wants to do it, you know, in front of the Aron. So he's got to schlep the Aron from Shiloh to Shechem in order to make this happen. Okay, so why Shechem? So number one, says the Radak, that Shechem was the first place that Avram went to when he went to Eretz Yisrael. right? When he went to Eretz Yisrael, so the pasuk says that he came to Shechem. The exact pasuk I did not put down here, but the pasuk says that Avram, when he first came in, he went to Shechem. So that's number one. That maybe as they are entering Eretz Yisrael, and Avram Avinu was the first, was the one really to go into Eretz Yisrael for the first time, since he went to Shechem, so therefore Yehoshua wants to, so to speak, end his life in Shechem, in that same place that Avram started the journey in Eretz Yisrael. So Yehoshua is essentially sending them the message, we're starting our journey in Eretz Yisrael in the same place that Avram started his journey. He came to Shechem as soon as he came in, and we're gonna continue in Shechem as well. The Radak also says that perhaps this has to do with an ace that happened in Shechem, as we know Shimon and Levi, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu helped them; it was an ace that they were able to wipe out all of the men of Shechem. So maybe that's what it's related to. He also says that Yaakov, also the first time that Yaakov ever purchased land in Eretz Yisrael was also in Shechem. Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Gimel, Vayovo Yaakov Sholim Ir Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Kenan, Bevomi Padan Aram. Yaakov is coming from Padan Aram, and he comes and he settles in Shechem. Right? He comes to settle in Shechem, and that's when we know Vayichan as Pnei Ha'ir. That's when we know that, you know, eventually what's going to happen with Dina happens at this time. But right before that story with Dina, what does the pasuk say? Vayiken es chelkas hasode asher nato sham aholom yad bnei chamorav yishchem v'meyak kisita. The Yaakov purchased land. This was the first land that Yaakov purchased in Eretz Yisrael, was in Shechem. Or maybe right on the outskirts of Shechem. But that was the first place that Yaakov Avinu purchased land. So it's not only that Avram, you know, went there for the first time, but Yaakov actually owned land in Eretz Yisrael for the first time in Shechem. And he says also at that time, this is actually two prakim later, but they're still at Shechem, and Yaakov tells his family, Vayomer Yaakov Obeso, this is in Bereishis Lamed Hey, I'm just reading the pasuk, Ve'el kol asher imo, hasiru es Elohehan echar asher b'sochechem. So what does Yaakov tell his family? Remove all of the idols. Remove all of the idols that you have with you. V'hitaru v'achalifu simloseichem. Purify yourselves. That's what it says in Bereishis. Yaakov is telling his family. So Yehoshua, who essentially is communicating to Bnei Yisrael the same message right now, get rid of Avodah Zarah, and don't make sure you're going to stick with Hashem and not side with Avodah Zarah. He chooses the same location, the Yaakov Avinu, essentially gave the same speech, right, to his family. Yaakov Avinu gave the speech in Shechem, so Yehoshua is choosing Shechem as well to give this speech. Okay.
Well, yeah. Also, logistically, it's easier to bring the Aron to the people than to bring the people to the Aron.
Logistically, I guess. But I'm not sure that all these people, meaning...
Well, no, they're all coming from all their...
Yeah, right, countries. They're coming from different places. They're not all... I mean, these people were not all inhabitants of Shechem.
Hmm.
Right? These were Nesiim and Zekanim from all over. Right. But, I mean, technically, you're right, you know. Hmm. But still, it's not really respectful to bring the Aron... I mean, even though you're right logistically, it's easier. But in terms of kavod, you know, it probably wouldn't be the proper thing to do. That's why we have all these shilas of moving Sifrei Torah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to take a Sefer Torah and you want to bring it somewhere. It's not so simple. You know, so we bring it to a Beis Avel and we bring it to different places. But it's not so simple to pick up a Sifrei Torah and move them.
What Shevet was Yoshev?
Ephraim.
Right.
Yeah.
And where was Shechem? Who's
That's Shevet? A good question. I'm not sure.
Because if it was in Ephraim's chelek, would make sense. Why? Because Yeshua was there. He was too old to travel. Right?
Yeshua was there anyway, and he was too old to travel.
If he was from Ephraim,
right.
I don't know.
Right. I think he was in Shiloh, though. I think Yeshua lived in Shiloh. Actually, in the back here, they have a map. So Shiloh is actually in the okay. If you look in the back here, if you look in the back. It's on page 223 in the back of the Navi. If you have this blue Navi. So if you look in the back, there's a map. So according to this map, on page 223, so Shiloh is in the Chelek of Ephraim. And if you look at the top, Shechem is like right on the border. So I think that Yehoshua lived in Shiloh, right? And now they're schlepping to Shechem, which is a little bit north. To
not such a far.
No, it's not so far. It's not around the corner.
You can't even tell whose chelek it's in. It's like right on the
corner. Yeah, it might be in Menashe. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's not so far, but it's not. But it's not so close either. You know. Okay, the Ralbag says something fascinating here. The Ralbag says, because when you just read the Psukim, you just think that Yahushua kind of cooked this up on his own. You know, he's about to die, and he just tells, he thinks this is a good speech. This is a good farewell speech. You know, to the people, tell them, stick with Hashem, avoid Avodah Zorah, etc. The Ralbag says that this was because of a Nevuah. Ralbag says that Yahushua had a Nevuah. Yahushua was a Navi. Yahushua had a Nevuah that Klal Yisrael's downfall would be because of Avodah Zarah. That's what he had in Nevuah. That the downfall would be because of Avodah Zarah. And if we read, if we learn Shoftim, we'll see that again and again, this was one of the challenges of the of Bnei Yisrael throughout the time of the Shoftim. So he had the Nevuah that was going to happen. So this is not just Stam, he woke up one day and he decided to talk about Avodah Zarah. He knew that this was going to be a thorn in their side for the next X number of years, or decades perhaps, that Avodah Zarah was always going to plague them, and therefore he decided my last speech is going to be about Avodah Zarah. That's going to be my last speech.
Did they hear enough with the Chayla Eagle?
Apparently not.
They died. They half of them.
Yeah.
Perished.
They forgot. It's a long time ago. Chayla Eagle.
What passed
away at the end? Just the olive still. We're going slow. No, okay, so that's a good point also. So the Radak mentions this also. The Radak says he's essentially gathering the same people again. He's not really gathering anyone new. It's the same Zakenim and Shoftim and Shochim. You look at the Pasuk, it's almost identical. Here it says, Es Kol Shivtei Yisrael. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I think in the end, I don't know. I don't remember seeing Mefarshim discuss that. I think so. I think he's still, again, as we said last week, it's hard to literally speak to the entire nation. So he's calling the leaders, and the leaders are going to communicate his message. Another speech. To be mechazik them. Yeah, another speech. Another drasha. You didn't have enough the first time. Invite them back. Okay. So that's the Ralbag. And the Ralbag says also, this would, essentially there were no major chidushim in Yahushua's speech here. He's not teaching them anything new. These were all things that they knew already. They got the Torah, right? They know already in the Torah all the times it says to keep, to follow Hashem and to stay away from Avodah Zarah. So there's not so much new in what Yahushua is going to tell them. But at the same time, it's a shmooze. It's chizuk. Okay, Pasuk Beis. So Yahushua says to the entire nation, this is what Hashem, the God of Israel, has said. And again, this also indicates that it's a nevuah, right? This is the words of Hashem, right? That Yahushua is sharing with the Jewish people. Be'ever hanahar yoshvu avoseichem me'olam terach avi Avraham va'avi Nachor va'yavdu Elohim acherim. So now he begins with a whole history lesson, right? A whole history lesson. It almost sounds like the Seder. Now we're going back to the roots here. We're going back to the beginning. What happened across the Yarden, right? Eiver Yarden, Yoshua Voseichem Me'ola. Your ancestors, right? Your ancestors lived for many, many years. Me'ever Hanahar. Terach Avi Avraham, right? Terach, who was the father of Avraham. And the father of Nachor, vayavdu Elohim acherim, and they worshipped idols, they worshipped other gods. So the Alshech here says that normally it's a funny word. The word avoseichem is a funny word, because if you come to Bnei Yisrael and you tell them avoseichem, what are they thinking? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what you would normally think when you hear avoseichem, right? But yet, what does it say? Be'ever hanahar yoshvu avoseichem. That's not true. Right? Only Abraham lived in Eber Hanar, and then he came over. Right? Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't go that direction. Right? He went south, he went to Mitzrayim, Right, but he didn't go Aver HaNahar. So what do you mean, Be'aver HaNahar Yashu Avos Seichem? So the Al-Sheikh says that Avos, and this is a theme that the Malbim also develops here, that Avos can mean one of two things. Avos can mean biological Avos, it can mean, right, literally, your ancestors, or it can mean your spiritual Avos, right? The ones who are, leading the way, so to speak, the ones that we look to, that we look back to, you know, in a spiritual sense, as our fathers and our forefathers and our leaders, right? That could also be Avos. So here says the Al-Sheikh, it's clear Avoseichem is referring to biological Avos. Here we're talking about literally ancestors, biological ancestors. So those ancestors, prior to Avram Avinu, right? Prior to Avram Avinu, so they were Be'aver HaNahar Yoshu. They settled at Aver HaNahar. And he says, that's why it says Me'olam, right? Olam is referring to the world, the physical world. We're talking about biology here. We're talking about ancestry. We're talking about your biological Avos. They all lived in Aver HaNahar. And what happened? says the Pasuk, and they worshipped other idols. They worshipped other idols. The Malbim says here that, very interestingly, he says that, you know, we find before Avram Avinu that there were people who were tzaddikim. Right? You find, you know, Mr. Shelach was a righteous person, Shem, we know Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, right? So it's not like you didn't have any tzaddikim before Avram Avinu. It's not like the whole world was full of Roshayim. There were righteous people before Avram Avinu, right? So what was the difference between Avram Avinu and between the righteous people that preceded him? So says the Malbim, a very, very, very fundamental difference. When it came to prior to Avram Avinu, so there Hashem only rested His presence, so to speak, His Shekhinah, on individuals. Individuals. So Shem was an individual, maybe Shem Ve'ever, right? Mesu Shelach, other people here and there. Individuals in the world were zoche to have Hashem's presence rest upon them. When Avram Avinu came onto the scene, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu shifts His Hashgacha. It's not just going to be on individuals, and it's not going to be sporadic. It's not going to be an individual here, an individual there. You know, every decade we're going to have somebody else who's worthy, who's righteous. No. Now it's going to be a constant Hashras HaShechina upon a group. Avram Avinu was the first. He wasn't just an individual Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the Av of a family, right? That led to Yitzchak, which led to Yaakov. Now we have a group called the Avos, okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was resting His Shechina upon this group of the Avos. From the Avos, we transition to a family, right, of Shvatim. You have 12 Shvatim, were the children of Yaakov Avinu. They carried on the legacy. So now we have the three Avos. Now we're transferring that Mesorah to the Shvatim. The Shvatim blossom really into a family of 70 souls who come down to Mitzrayim. As we know, Shivim Nefesh, they come down to Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, then there's an explosion, right? Then all of a sudden it becomes a nation. Not all of a sudden, after 210 years, right? But after years in Mitzrayim, we basically transform from a big family of 70 people to a nation of a couple million, right? A couple million people. So says the Malbim, that was the fundamental change. Before Avram Avinu, there were, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested His Shekhinah on individuals, right? But it wasn't on a rabbin, it wasn't on a group. And it was not constant. It was sporadic. Here, there, it was sporadic. But once Avram Avinu came onto the scene, now things were different. He says that in this pasuk you see also the three reasons why Hashem could not rest His presence on a group and why it could not be constant. Why? Because number one, you see, location was a problem. Where did these people live? Aver HaNahar. They didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. The only place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Mashra Shechinah, so upon a group, upon a Rabbin, is only once you get to Eretz Yisrael. It's only once you get to Eretz Yisrael. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. Right? So Aver HaNahar is a problem. The location is a problem. Problem number two, there's no Yichus. Right? Literally, it's just individuals. Every, you know, here and there, people come up with this idea that they're going to believe in God, monotheism. There's no structure of families that teach to their children, etc., etc. It didn't happen before Avram Avinu. And that's what the Pasuk says. You have Terach and you have Nahor. Right? That's all you have. You have these people. Right? All of the teaching that was done from father to son was about idolatry. It was about to go against Hashem. It wasn't positive. In favor of monotheism, to believe in God. And number three, their actions were not good. They just worshipped Avodah Zarah. That was the third part of the pasuk. Vayavu Elohim Achirim. So says the Malbim for these three reasons. Number one, they weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet. Number two, there was no family yichus yet, where fathers were teaching children about the right path, about God. That didn't exist. And number three, they were still steeped in Avodah Zarah. They were still steeped in these evil ways. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not starting yet to rest my Shekhinah on a group. I'll do individuals. If you have individuals that are good, individuals that are righteous, individuals that recognize me, I'll rest with them. I'll be Mashra Shekhinah Si Benehem. But otherwise, I'm holding out. Avram Avinu came along. He went to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha. He goes to Eretz Yisrael. Now there's a new Parsha. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We have Avram Avinu that we know. What does the pasuk say about Avram Avinu? Leman ki yedativ. Pasuk says about Avram Avinu. Ki yedativ leman asher yitzav es banav es beis v'acharav. I know that Avram Avinu is going to teach his children. Right? You have the yichus, you have the mesorah, the shalshalas ha-mesorah, this unbroken chain of tradition that's going to be passed from father to son, etc. And then of course you have the opposite of Vayavdu Elohim Achirim. You have worshipping Hashem. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. All worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have the exact opposite of these three things. You see also, it's interesting, but you see that, and the Rabag also focuses on this, we'll talk about it in a minute, in Pasuk Gimel, but you see also the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. That here you see, even in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacted with human beings, and we're talking about tzaddikim, right? Good people. But the way that he interacted with human beings was limited, because it was outside of Eretz Yisrael. You know, there's something special about Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu created this special land called Eretz Yisrael. There's something special about this. And only once Klal Yisrael comes to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the way that he interacts with human beings. Right? So you see the unique nature of Eretz Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us. Everything is dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Without Eretz Yisrael, we're limited. We're stunted. We don't have the same relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we have Eretz Yisrael, it changes the game. But everything is now changed.
So what happened to
Eretz Yisrael? So before Avram Aminu? Or afterwards, once we went into Golus. Right. So it sounds like that once we were there, even though we went into Golus, but we still have that connection. In other words, once Avram Aminu Lech Lecha, once he went to Eretz Canaan, and Yitzchak Avinu was there, and even Yaakov was there, and the Shvatim were there until they left and went down to Mitzrayim. But once we were there and we got a foothold in Eretz Yisrael, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting among us. Now we're in Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with us. You know, but that's what it seems like, that once we have a foothold, once we're established there, it's okay. But we had to get that first settlement there. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Va'ekach es avichem es Avraham me'ever ha'nahar va'olech oso b'chol eretz kenat. So Hashem says that I took Avram Avinu, I took avichem, Es Avraham, and here, right here, the Mefarshim point out the Alshech points out here that here only we're calling Avraham Avichem. Why? Because here the pasuk is switching. We're no longer talking about the biological avos. Here we're talking about the spiritual avos. Right here we're talking about Avraham Avinu as a spiritual av, not just as a biological forefather, but as the forefather of the nation of the Jewish people of monotheism. So I took Avram Avinu, says the Ralbag, I took him with chesed. I plucked him, literally, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Avram Avinu, and he pulls him out of wherever he was, Aram Naharayim, out of this place, and he plops him in Eretz Yisrael. He tells him, Lech Lecha, and go to Eretz Yisrael. And that's where he was able to be successful. The Ralbag says that you see that only in Eretz Yisrael, Avram Avinu, who had the potential to become a shalem, to become a perfect person, he was placed in Eretz Yisrael, which is the land that is set up for that. And that's what he was doing. So he takes Avram Avinu, he takes him from Eivra Anohar, va'olech oso b'chol Eretz Kenan. And literally, right, I walk him through Eretz Kenan. I walk him through Eretz Kenan. Says the Ralbag, what do you mean he walks him through Eretz Kenan? That every place that Avram Avinu went in Eretz Yisrael, says the Ralbag, he got a nevuah in each place. Every single place that he was in that he visited in Eretz Yisrael, he got a nevuah. Why? To show him that each and every place, each and every city, each and every step in Eretz Yisrael is kadosh. Right? Everything in Eretz Yisrael, this is all part of the promise. This is all part of the legacy. This is all kadosh. Everything, all part, the whole Eretz Yisrael is ready for you. And what happened? Va'arbe es zaro va'etein lo es Yitzchak, and I increased his descendants, and I gave him Yitzchak. Right? It's interesting, the language of va'arbe, because it's only, you know, he had one, he had two kids. Right? Yitzchak and Yishmael. I'm sorry? Yitzchak and Yishmael, that's all he had. But va'arbe sounds like a lot. But it was a different mother, correct. But va'arbe sounds like it's a large number. But we're talking about only two kids, and not only two kids, doesn't even mention Yishmael here in the Pasuk. Right? It's interesting, because in the next Pasuk, we're going to see, it does mention Esav. So why isn't Yishmael mentioned? So the Radak says that Yishmael is not mentioned, I believe it was the Radak, yeah. The Radak says Yishmael is not mentioned, number one, because he was the son of an Umma. He wasn't the son of an Aim, right, of one of the Imahos. Esav at least came from Rivka, right? Esav at least came from Rivka. So Yishmael didn't have that yichus. He was Avram's son, but he was Hagar's son. He didn't come from Sarah. So that's number one. Number two, also because the pasuk says Garesh es ben ha'amazos es ha'amazos v'yes v'na, right? They threw him out. Sarah threw him out, and Avram, Hashem said, you know, Shema b'kolam, that you should listen to Sarah, and Avram went along with him and threw Yishmael out. Throwing Yishmael out, it's not just the physically that they threw him out. Spiritually, right? He's out of the legacy here. He's out of the. Even in the family history, we delete his name, you know, Yishmael. We don't want to talk about Yishmael. He's the one that was exiled. So here also, the Alshich points out here interestingly that the Pesukim here, this is really also Pasuk Beis. Who did it talk about? It talked about Terach, who was Avram's father, and then which brother? Nahor. Why not Haran? Haran was old, but there was another brother. Right, there were three sons. Terach had three sons. Avram, Nahor, and Haran. So it mentions Avram, who was the good son. It mentions Nahor, who was the evil son, who followed Avodah Zarah just like his father. What about Haran? How come it doesn't mention Haran? So the Alshech points out that Haran was a little bit wishy-washy. The Medrash says that Haran basically said, you know, I'm holding out to see who's right. Right?
Survives.
Yeah, exactly. I see, you know, Avram over here. I see my father and Nahor. You know, I'm not sure who's going to win. I'm gonna hold out. I'm going to sit on the side, on the sidelines, and see who wins. Whoever wins, I'm gonna jump onto his team. So in the end of the day, Haran kind of joined forces with Avram because he saw that Avram won. But he wasn't successful. Right? He also was killed. But the Alshech says that because of that, the Pasuk doesn't mention him, because he wasn't a diehard of a Zoronik. You know, he was a wishy-washy guy. He wasn't very ideological. You know, he was into peer pressure. You know, he was a front runner. You know, he wanted to go with the winner. So because of that, he's not even mentioned here. The Malbim says that corresponding to the three reasons that we mentioned in the Pasuk Beis, why Hashem did not rest His Shekhinah on a group before Avram Avinu, this Pasuk mentions the exact opposite three reasons why Hashem began to rest His Shekhinah on this group beginning with Avram Avinu. Right, so says the Malbim, number one, Va'olei Choso B'chol Eretz Kenan. The problem, remember the problem number one with the others? They were in Eivor HaNahar, Eivor HaYarden. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I took Avram and I walked him all throughout Eretz Yisrael. By the location he had Eretz Yisrael. Number two, what do we say? Va'arbes zaro va'etin lo es Yitzchak. I gave him Yitzchak, which means I gave him the Yichus. Right? Terach didn't teach his son Nachor the proper way. I gave Avraham a son Yitzchak so that he could l'manasha yitzav es banav es beis ha'achar, so that he could teach his children. He could pass on the Masorah to the next generation. And then finally, the very last thing that he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So obviously, Avram and Yitzchak didn't worship Avodah Zarah. They obviously served Hashem. So those exact same three reasons, that were reasons why Hashem did not keep his Shekhinah on the group. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his approach. and he does rest his Shechina upon the group now. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Dalet. Oh, one interesting thing. If you look at the, there's a Kriya Ksiv in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, so it's read Va'arbe, but it's written Va'arav, without a hey. Right? If you look at the Ksiv, it doesn't have a hey. So some of the Mefarshim say, why doesn't it have a hey? So Rashi says that it's to hint that the language of Arav is a language of a battle, of a fight, right? Like you know, the Arav in the Torah also in regards
a quarrel.
Yeah, a quarrel, exactly. In regards to the Ir Miklat, it says Arav lo v'kama lov, that if a person, that this person was not ambushed, it wasn't a fight, he was killed accidentally. Right, so the arav is a language of like an ambush or a fight. So Rashi says the arav also hints to the fact that it wasn't easy for Avraham. It's not like Hashem plucked him out of Aram Naharaim and plopped him in Eretz Yisrael and everything was good. The arav, I gave him nisyonos. Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos. Every step he took, there was another nisayon. Right, the lech lecha, the akedah, you know, Nimrod, you know, there's all these nisyonos back and forth. So it's not even like it was so simple. It was challenging for Avraham Avinu, and yet he succeeded at every challenge. He met every challenge. He succeeded, and he passed with flying colors. Let's see Pasuk Dalet. Va'etein leYitzchak es Yaakov es Esav. So I gave Yitzchak Yaakov and Esav. Va'etein leEsav es Har Seir laReshes Esav Yaakov uvanav yardu Mitzrayim. And I gave Esav Har Seir as an inheritance, and Yaakov and his children went down to Mitzrayim. And Suda Stov, it says something fascinating here. It says that that Yaakov and Esav shared a womb, right? Remember, they shared a womb for 9-10 months. Okay, not a room, a womb, right? So they were womb-mates. Sorry, I had to. Okay, so they shared this womb together. So the Mitzudas David says that that actually, you know, in the genetics here of Yitzchak and Rivka, there was still a little psolas. There was still a little impurity. So what happened? The impurity was kind of, you know, the genetic impurity was in the womb, and Mitzudas David says that Esav absorbed all of that impurity, and that's why he ended up the way he did. Esav absorbed all the impurity. Yaakov absorbed all the purity. And that's why the pure stock went from Avram Yitzchak, and now it could have gone Esav and Yaakov, but all the purity went to Yaakov, all the impurity went to Esav, and that's why the lineage of Bnei Yisrael goes through Avram Yitzchak and then down through Yaakov. And all the psola, so to speak, all that impurity was left with Esav. He also explains that that's why the Pasuk says, "Va'etin le'Esav es har seir l'resh esav." Why is this important? Who cares what Esav's inheritance was? So Esav got Har Seir. What a big deal. Now what do we care what Esav's inheritance was? So the Mitzudas David says, no. Hashem Dafka gave him Har Seir right away. He wanted Esav to have a place. Why? Because if Esav was settled and Esav was all comfortable in his land, Esav wouldn't go down to Mitzrayim. Right? Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim because he didn't have food. But Yaakov also went down to Mitzrayim. Hashem, you know, made it so that Yaakov wasn't so comfortable. He went down to Mitzrayim. Esav was very comfortable. They were settled in Har Seir. They had food in Har Seir, right? And therefore, they did not end up in Mitzrayim. Why? Because if Esav had ended up in Mitzrayim, he could have been subject to the same promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Maybe Esav would have gotten some of the promise. So therefore, Va'etin lo es Har Seir. Hashem right away gave him Har Seir, made him comfortable. He has his own land. He's comfortable there. He has food there. He's not going to end up in Mitzrayim, and therefore, he's not going to be subject to the fulfillment of those promises. Only Yaakov would be. The Malbim says that this is exactly where the Yaakov of Anav Yardu Mitzrayim, the Yaakov and his sons had to go down to Mitzrayim. Why? Because they had to purify their physical bodies. Right? They had to purify themselves. They had to go through this Kor HaBarzel, as the Mefarshim and Chazal say. And only then, only once they went through Mitzrayim, so now we have a nation. Now we have a nation that can cling to Hashem. Now we have a nation that can accept the Torah. And now we have a nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest his Shechina upon them. Pasuk Hey, Vo Eshlach es Moshe ves Aaron, Vo Egof es Mitzrayim kasher asisi bekirbo, Ve Achar hotzeisi eschem. The Malbim says that I also chose proper shluchim. I chose Moshe and Aaron, who were excellent shluchim to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Vo Egof es Mitzrayim means I hit Mitzrayim, right? I attacked Mitzrayim with the Makos, as we know. As we did, and then I brought you out, and I continued to use miracles, right? I used miracles in Mitzrayim, I used miracles out of Mitzrayim. Pasuk Vav, va'otzi es avoseichem in Mitzrayim, and I took your fathers out of Mitzrayim. Va'tavo'u hayama, and we brought them down to Yamsuf. Va'yudifu Mitzrayim acharei avoseichem berechev uvafaroshim Yamsuf, and as we know, the Mitzrayim gave chase to Bnei Yisrael, and they chased them down with their chariots and with their horses down to Yamsuf. And the Malbim says that Hashem the entire way continued to do miracles. He continued, right? Everything was miraculous. The Makos were miraculous. Kriyas Yamsuf was miraculous. Why? Because Hashem wanted to make it. I want to make sure that everybody recognizes who I am. I want to make sure that everybody recognizes that I am Hashem. They believe in me. They're not going to doubt me. Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzaku el Hashem, and at Yamsuf we know Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem. Vayosem ma'afel beinechem uvein hamitzrim. Fascinating. Right, Hashem, the pasuk says that I placed a ma'afel. What's a ma'afel? So we know the word afela is darkness, right? Me'afela la'ora, from darkness to light. So ma'afel seems to be like some sort of a dark cloud, or it's some sort of a dark screen that was placed in between the Mitzrim and in between Bnei Yisrael. Vayavei alav es hayam, and I brought upon him, in the singular, which we'll talk about in a minute, I brought the Yamsuf upon him, when I covered him, meaning I drowned the Mitzrim, and your eyes were able to see all that I did in Mitzrayim, and yet I kept you in the Midbar for many, many years. So Rashi says, why is this in the singular? That I brought upon him, I brought the sea upon him. What's the him? So the Pashup Shat says the Radak is that we're talking about him, the nation of Mitzrayim. Right? We were just referring to the nation as a whole. He says you can also learn that we're talking about Paro as an individual, so maybe that's why it's in Lashon Yachid. Rashi says, Alpi Medrash, Rashi says that it's also in Yachid, because what happened at Yamsuf, all of a sudden the water starts caving in. So what do all the Mitzrayim start to do? They turn around, right? Says Rashi, the Mitzrim saw the water starts coming in and drowning some of the Mitzrim. So what the Mitzrim in the back see what's going on, they say, uh-oh, we're not going there. Right? So they turn around and they start to run away from the Yamsuf. So what happens? Vayavei alav es hayom. That each and every person, each and every Mitzri that tried to run away, says Rashi, a wave came and swallowed them up. Right? Each and every Mitzri. That's why it says Vayavei alav in the singular. Each and every mitzvah that came, a wave came and swallowed him up to make sure that he couldn't flee, that he couldn't run away. The Mitzudas David also explains that what does it mean for the Vayosim Ma'afel Beinechem? What's this darkness? So the Mitzudas David says that that Hashem literally made it dark for them. Right? Some of the Mefarshim, the Malbim says that we're talking about a cloud. Hashem made it, literally made it dark. The Mitzrim couldn't see what happened to the Jews. Says the Mitzudas David, had the Mitzrim seen, you know, we all grow up, the Mitzrim knew what was going on. They watched Bnei Yisrael go through. Says in Mitzvah 7, the Mitzrim didn't see Bnei Yisrael go through. Because had the Mitzrim seen the sea part and Bnei Yisrael go through on dry land, do you think the Mitzrim would have chased them? Says in Mitzvah 7, absolutely not. Had the Mitzrim seen Bnei Yisrael go through in a miraculous way, they were not touching these guys. Right? The water just split for them. Well, I'm not touching them. Right? So specifically, Ma'afel, Hashem made it dark. Hashem clouded the vision of the Mitzrim, they weren't able to see what happened to Bnei Yisrael, and therefore they ran right into the split sea right behind Bnei Yisrael, and that's when the waves came crashing down to drown them. The Malbim says, here we have two opposites. They drowned and you were saved, number one. Also, they could not see, Vayosem Ma'afel, and you at the end of the Pasuk, Vatirena Einecha, and you were able to see. Right? They were killed, you survived. They could not see, you were able to see. So you see, you're able to see, meaning that you survived through a reason. You're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're able to see, you know, all that I did to save you. And yet, says Hashem, at the end of the Pasuk, Vateshuv HaMidbar Yamim Rabim, I still had to take you through the Midbar for 40 years. It wasn't enough. The Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, I still had to take you through the Midbar for 40 years to work on Emuna, to work on the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to work on, you know, Kabbalah HaTorah. We had to work on that for 40 years together in the Midbar. Okay, so I know we went a little slowly through the first seven psukim, but they were, you know, they're very dense. There's a lot of history here and a lot of symbolism behind all these things that Yoshua is mentioning. So Emir Tz Hashem, we'll pick up next week with Pasuk Ches.